Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love. Have you ever considered what will happen when the language of cosmic love becomes common sense with a common language? Are you aware that this love language is, in fact, the learning process, the creative process, and the processes of consciousness at the quintessential foundation of self-governance? Think about that. Such a language of consciousness has the potential to involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness. This is what cosmic love is all about, higher conscience. Give yourself a checkup from the neck up. What do you think will happen to your world and the world at large as we become more conscious of how we are conscious, both individually and collectively? I'll give you a big hint. Take a good look at the worldwide web of consciousness that the internet has created. Consider this new net reality for what it truly is, a global revolution in higher consciousness. The instant, everywhere, interactive internet has eliminated space and time. We're all connected in a global village now. All knowledge is at your fingertips. Knowledge power as never before known to humanity. But where's the cosmic love, you may ask? There's a new net reality shaping the consciousness of humanity. Freedom to know better and the opportunity to do better has far outpaced the ability of our core institutions to keep up with the revolutionary capabilities for all humanity. That's what the internet represents, the evolving consciousness of humanity, the collective consciousness of humanity, and the collective future of humanity. That's where cosmic love comes in. Any good metaphysician with his finger on the pulse of humanity could tell you that. If you step out of the box of contemporary groupthink and if you become an objective observer of the evolutionary ascent of net reality caused by the internet, you will not only see a huge wave of change coming, but also the nature of that change and the role that cosmic love will play in change events. There is a natural evolutionary path to these changes. Cosmic love is a blueprint for that change. It always has been. But humanity is just beginning to grasp the multidimensional consciousness required to navigate the vast, uncharted realm of inner space, the internet, at the heart of the internet. This is the new global village consciousness that is defining the collective conscience of humanity. Let's get real. Net reality is what we make it. Where do you think it's going? How do you think we'll get through the birth pangs of a new world being born? Are you ready for the next big thing in the computer internet revolution? Would you agree that the best way to predict the future is to create it? Cosmic love is the answer to these questions. All I ask is that you listen and learn. See how you can catch the biggest wave of opportunity in history. I'll explain how you can ride that wave for phenomenal win-win benefits for yourself and all humanity. Those hearing this are obviously computer literate, so connect the dots. Get a grip on the net reality of global connection with the benefits of cosmic love. Someone has to do it. May it begin with us, united sovereigns in a united state of cosmic love. Always victory when we love enough, keep the faith. Get the vision, embrace the virtue, make the vow, and claim the victory of cosmic love in your world and the world at large.
Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love for September 21st, 2013. Today I'm interviewing Nicolia Christie, who lives in southern France. That's about 8 hours time differential between the Pacific Coast and France. So we're doing the show live. If we did the show live on Saturday evening, Nicole would have to be up at 3 to 4 a.m. in the morning. So we're pre-recording the show earlier in the day on the full moon, Thursday, September 19th. I'm just going to give a brief intro here. I have more information that'll be up on the Cosmic Love website. Nicole Christie has the soul of a mystic, the wisdom of a visionary, and the magnanimous heart of an evolutionary guide. She recently wrote Contemporary Spirituality for an Evolving World, a Handbook for Conscious Evolution. Thank you, Nicole, for being with us on Cosmic Love today.
Oh, thank you very much for inviting me, Christopher. I feel honored and very blessed to be here, so thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Nicole, you've got a really interesting background. You're the founder of the New Consciousness Academy and co-founder of World Shift International. You're the author of 2012, A Clarion Call, and you live in southern France. How do you say that? Rennes-le-Château. Okay, my French is a little dusty since
so
two
is
years
mine.
Of high school. Since 2 years of high school French. So
yeah.
Nicole, you've got this amazing book. I'm just in awe with some of the profound depth of insight into the trendings of conscious evolution, and I was really taken by your section on the Essene community and what came out of the Essene community, the consciousness of that community that Yeshua, Jesus, came out of, and the whole conscious evolution thing this last 2,000 years and the acceleration now and the 2012 Clarion Call book that you've done, and the information on that is, again, on the website and links. So people can tune into that book from this last year, and you're really on the what I would consider the leading edge of the New Age movement towards a millennial 1,000 years of peace, golden age, the threshold of a conscious awakening for the collective consciousness. I'm just I'm thrilled to have you on the show. This is the heart of cosmic love. I mean, my intent from the beginning has been along these lines. Could you give the listeners a little bit better introduction orientation to why you did this book at this time, and what kind of wind in your sails right now is compelling you to basically unveil the mysteries of conscious evolution?
Wow. Wow. That's quite a statement. I keep everything quite simple, really. I think I'm a bit of a simple soul. What sort of initiated this book is when I was writing Clarion Call, I got the title of the next book. Was Contemporary Spirituality for an Evolving World, while I was writing it. And I thought I was going to be writing something else beyond 2012 and so forth, but no, this kept sticking. And how it works for me is, I don't know how to describe it, but I think I'm not a classical writer in the sense that I very much write from feeling, and I only write from feeling. And so I can only write what I am feeling. And I get this feeling, it must be a little bit like how an artist works. I get this feeling where the energy builds and builds and builds and builds. And it's not until it's reached a certain point that I can actually engage with the process. So when I wrote 2012 Clarion Call, I had absolutely no idea when I was going to write the next book, but it turned out to be 3 years later because I wrote Clarion Call in the spring of 2009. And I wrote Contemporary Spirituality in the summer of 2012, yes, last year. So it's 3 years. In a way, it was very interesting because I was my whole life was absolutely dedicated to the 2112 phenomena. And again, it would be a whole program just to talk about what actually happened and how I came to write 2012 A Clarion Call, which I do speak a lot about in that book. That book was, how can I say, I guess it must be like your first love. You know, I'm never going to forget, you know, that experience. And I had a feeling when I was writing that book, I'd never written a book before, didn't even believe I could write one, and there I was writing it. I had a feeling when I was writing it, it was a buzz going through me the whole time I was writing. I thought, I don't know anything about books. I have no idea if it's going to get published. I wouldn't even know how to approach a publisher, but I'm writing this, and as I'm writing it, it feels alive. It feels like it wants to be out in the world doing what it's doing. And it went out into the world, and I had amazing, amazing feedback about that book. Now, once I'd written it, I sat back and I thought, okay, where to from here? And I got involved with, obviously, I founded World Shift Movement. Then I co-founded World Shift International with Kingsley Dennis. And got involved in all sorts of other projects and other things, as well as traversing, if you like, the 2012 realities of what we were all individually working through to arrive at that threshold moment. So I was very much engaged in my own personal process as well. And I was still aware that this next book, it just wasn't ready to come. So I thought, it's fine, just wait. And I carried on with doing all the different things I'm doing. I do a lot of writing outside of the books. I'm constantly writing. I teach on Facebook every day on my page. So very engaged in other sort of projects and enterprises. And then last summer, it was an amazing year, 2012. It was not the year I expected whatsoever, but that taught me again, do not have expectations. It was a grueling, grueling year, a year I just did not envision, but there it was. And amongst all of that, suddenly, I guess like it must feel when you're about to give birth, I had this absolute powerful need to push, energetic, overwhelming sense of this need to push, which is what came the clarion call. And I knew as soon as I got that feeling, the next book needs to come. And so with that feeling, once I was with that, what happens is I just put my hands over the keyboard. I have absolutely no idea what I'm going to write. I don't plan anything. I don't write notes. I just put my hands over the keyboards and off we go. And I wrote Clarion Call in 6 weeks. And I wrote this book in six weeks as well. It takes about 3 months to edit it and get it absolutely, well, nothing can ever be perfect. I've learned that one too. But certainly as good as I can get it in the editing stage, which I co-edited with a friend of mine, Cherry. So, so that's when it came. And what I felt when I wrote that book, it was a very, very different experience to Clarion Call, because with Clarion Call, I had absolutely no doubt that that was a channeling that was coming through me. And it was coming from the luminous ones, those beings that I work with, those high-dimensional beings that I work with that reveal themselves to me as the luminous ones, as well as my higher self, because we are always engaged in our, if we call it our service with a capital S on the earth, we're not merely just pure channels. There's a contract we have at a higher self level with the higher dimensions. So Clarion Call came through me without any question. Contemporary spirituality was a totally different experience. It was amazing. And again, it must be, I've not actually given birth myself, but I can only imagine it must be like a woman giving birth or a father fathering different children, that each one is different, is unique in its own way. And so it was with contemporary spirituality. And what I felt when I wrote that book is it was, in a way, it was more coming from me, from myself with a capital S and my higher self. And I speak about the selves in the book. I speak about self with small s, which is ego personality level, self with capital S, which is the authentic true self, and higher self, which is the bridge between soul and self with capital S. So it's the inspirational, aspired part of who we are, tinged with spirit and infused with soul. I was very aware when I was writing Contemporary Spirituality, this is coming from me. Yes, it is a collaboration with my dear friends, the luminous ones, but it is definitely much more coming from me too. And I was aware that it felt like, for me, the sum total of lifetimes of my own understanding and study of human nature, of the psychology of human beings, of conscious evolution of human beings at an individual and a collective level, including, if you like, the evolutionary trajectory of not the Earth itself as a planet, but life on Earth. So this all felt like a culmination point. And the summer of last year for me was a completion. And when I completed that book and I literally put the last full stop in place, I had this overwhelming sigh of relief. And it felt like I had just closed a chapter that was lifetimes. And it was a very interesting feeling, because once I'd written the book, as any author would tell you, that the energy that is infused and directed into the writing of a book, when you finished it, there's this moment for 2 or 3 weeks afterwards where you're kind of left in this, you know, it's just this empty zone. Again, it must be like a woman who's given birth, you know, the womb is suddenly empty. And so there I was, and I had this feeling, this is all coinciding, this is all synchronistic, of this moving towards 2112, which was instrumental, absolutely instrumental for humanity. It can never, ever be underestimated what that date was for humanity and the years leading up to that date, and especially the last 13 years from 1999, which the Maya, the classic Maya, termed as the quickening, and was a quickening for humanity. So I was aware of my own process and all of that, and that this book, Contemporary Spirituality, had been an ending, but at the same time a beginning of something else. So I was left at the end of writing that book with, well, where to from here? Because Clarion Call is done. We're coming to the closing 6 months of this, you know, 26,000-year process we've been in, this 126,000-year process that we've been in. And I've completed this now. Where do I go from here? So my last 6 months of 2012 were really spent on closing and continuing to write about 2112 right up until that moment. And then we hit the moment, 2112, 1111, GMT, UT. We hit that moment, we moved through it, and we came out the other side. And it was, again, an interesting process, which I'm not going to respond to now because you haven't asked me that question, but a very interesting process for me, the other side of 2112. As I wrote about, I didn't actually write about my personal process in Irvin Laszlo and Kingsley Dennis's recent book, but it was titled, my contribution to that book was titled The Other Side of the Shift, and I was very much with the other side of the shift, really, right up until now. And I'm just this afternoon, I've spent the afternoon writing a huge piece that I'm going to post onto Facebook this weekend, about this equinox, this extremely significant September equinox on Sunday, and what I feel that's about.
There's a couple other events you referenced. Tomorrow, what is Friday's World Peace Day, or
on Saturday it's International Peace Day, the International Day of Peace. Yeah, and you mentioned the full moon,
the full moon energy we have at the moment. Well, that's as we're speaking, so. We're kind of in the ethers. We're a little bit ahead of the game of people listening to this on Saturday evening on the Cosmic Love Show. But time is relative.
Yes, it's perfect. But it's perfect timing, because we're in the energies of the full moon. If we look at the full moon is always about the culmination point, the completion point. And as we make our way to the equinox on Sunday, that is a very, very significant completion point from 2112, from the December solstice. And I say December, I use the months now rather than spring or autumn, because of course our Australian friends and our Southern Hemisphere friends are all part and parcel of this phenomena. So, you know, we are reaching this Saturday night, really is it's a perfect time for this show to go out with what we're talking about, because it is the culmination point of the moment from the winter solstice, the December solstice of 2012, that takes us right up to the autumn equinox on Sunday. This is a piece that has been completed in itself and of itself. And I will say at this point, this in-depth piece I've written about it, if anybody listening to this show wants to read the fullness of what this experience is, then they will be able to read about it on Saturday, actually. I'm posting it in two parts, part one on Saturday, but the big important piece is being posted on Sunday on my Facebook wall.
So so with people who are on Facebook can go to, can put in Nicolia Christie, and
yes.
come to your website and see that. And I highly recommend that. From what I've seen in your book, and just tuning into the videos that I've put up on the website with the show introduction, I think people can sense that there's a lot going on here.
Yes.
From 2012
yes,
through to the present, and for those who may have tuned into the show later, this is Christopher Rudy, and I'm interviewing Nicolia Christie regarding her new book, Contemporary Spirituality for an Evolving World, a handbook for conscious evolution. I'm thrilled to have you on, Nicolia. I'd love to go through more of this big shift, understanding this conscious evolution revolution I sometimes refer to. I've had a lot of different authors on the show regarding 2012 and what's going on with galactic alignment, you know, this unique cycle of 26,000 years with Earth orbiting up and across the galactic plane of 250 billion suns in our Milky Way galaxy orbiting around the great central sun. And here we are in alignment now, as our solar system is in alignment in this great cycle. Here we are in alignment with 250 plus billion, you know, how, that's their estimate of suns in the galactic plane. You know, there, so there's alignment into the great central sun, and the light is surging on the planet, and people are waking up. And your clarion call 2012 was, you know, I haven't read it, but it sounds like an extraordinary wake up call.
God.
And I'm really grateful for your book. For those who on the website, I provide links to Inner Traditions, Bear & Company. You found a really good publisher. I've interviewed several other authors from Inner Traditions. On cosmic love. So you're in good company.
Very much so. And I really do appreciate them because they do hold new consciousness in their practices as publishers, and that is mainly why I'm with them.
Yeah, I've had good experiences with them.
Yeah.
And this timing right now, sometimes referred to as the thinning of the veil, sometimes zero point, sometimes, you know, galactic alignment, you know, the big shift. The consciousness, evolution, revolution, the astrology, psychology. I've talked about that on a lot of previous shows. But you're framing it in a very unique, and again, the way you've written this by, so to speak, feeling, or I would think of it as kind of an intuition, just a knowing, and that's greater than yourself, you know,
luminous ones, these light
yes. beings, and that's with the thinning of the veil. My experience is, and the more I talk with people on the show, people all over the world are with this thinning of the veil. I refer to it as effective sensory perception, not extra. There's nothing extra about it when you have it.
Yeah.
You know, there's just a knowing or an intuition, and just a. And a lot of it has to do with synchronicity, you know, that that's way beyond linear time. It's like a nonlinear spherical consciousness that's just with a knowing, an intuition. And I know, you know, the expression I have is that when you're hot, you're hot, and when you're not, you're not. You know, when you're hot, so to speak, and giving birth, you know, it's like, and you're pushing, so to speak. There's an as above, so below thing. You're pulling it down while you're pushing it out.
Exactly. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, you know, there's several things in your book that I thought are extraordinary. One of them is the perspective that you give on the Native First Nations people's oral wisdom teachings of the seven mm-hmm. dark, seven light, and seven rainbow arrows for evolving consciousness. And you go into in depth about the evolution of relationships
mm-hmm.
With aspiration to higher love connection with God, Source, Creator, pure intention, focused attention, love's retention, conscious ascension into a unity, co-creation dimension, where there's an integration and healing of the shadow self, you know, dissolving mm-hmm. psychological wounds. And that that those different sections of the book. I mean, there's, you know, one of my favorite things is just to pick the book up and kind of thumb, you know, just flip through pages and just open it up.
Yes, I honestly believe that's the way to read that book. I don't feel that as a book to read from cover to cover. I believe it literally is. I see it. It's a bit of a bizarre, you know, vision, but I see it like an amazing box of chocolates where you just open it and you just pick one.
And that's a good
you
way.
Stay there.
Good way to think of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, here we have humanity has now reached this big shift, critical mass of a new social consciousness and our new global social networks. And this process and this is quite often on the show, I refer to the evolution revolution with the computer internet revolution, and how now we live in an instant, everywhere, interactive internet global village where time and space has been eliminated. It's like the mysteries of time and space. I mean, it's like we're the family of man in a global village, and there's this awakening with a, call it, you know, unity conscience or you know, a critical mass of, you know, evolving consciousness, mm-hmm. that we've got to this point where there's this new awareness of ourselves as a whole. And any dysfunction in our core social, political, and economic institutions is beginning to stick out like a sore thumb.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And there's so this is compelling, you might say, in our collective consciousness and an uprising of hope, faith, and love activism that instinctively and intuitively turns to the source of our peace and happiness. You know, cosmic love is, you know, my moniker, but, you know, the concept of there is a universal heart coherence, and I saw numerous references in your book to this, the science of heart coherence and the new understanding mm-hmm. of this, and concept of the coherent field, the unified field, the quantum field, and a coherent energy that is really like the, you know, scientifically, it's like the golden ratio algorithm of the heart rhythm. So it's like the heart of universe. It's like there's a connection that's involving and evolving our individual and collective conscience.
Yes.
And there are references to this from multiple perspectives in your book, so people can get can wrap their mind around, you know, what mm-hmm. this evolution revolution, where it's going, you know, from personal to planetary and individual to collective, involving and evolving our, you know, individual and collective consciousness. Mm-hmm. So what was it in the book that really grabbed you that you like to go back to and kind of tune into and reference?
Well, what I wanted to say to you is that, as I said earlier, it sounds a bit strange, but I actually do have an incredibly simple mind. So one of the things that's very important for me is that, and I feel it's probably one of the things that I've been gifted with in this lifetime, is to be able to actually take complex information that I am feeling and sensing and writing it in a way that is really easy for people that have got a mind like I have to understand, because I don't understand all the long words and the scientific terminologies. I'm just blinded by them. Some of the things that you've been saying, you know, they're the kind of things that almost blind me, because they're very how can I say, technically perfect what you're saying, but I don't understand that. So what I've done is I've written in a very, very simple way the feelings I have. And the book, you know, it has a little sort of tag title, which is From Personal to Global Transformation. And the whole reason for this book, again, is a little bit like Clarion Call, but this is much more focused, is very much about, you know, as we work on ourselves, it is through working on ourselves, it is through taking responsibility for self, it's through integrating self, healing self, self-realization, ultimately self-actualization, even self-transcendence, which is, you know, the highest achievement we can attain as a human being, self-transcendence, that as we work on these levels in ourselves, the world can automatically begin to transform. This is how it really needs to start. Now, I've spent 4 years. I've worked with Irvin Laszlo as well. We worked together on World Shift for quite a while. Is I started to move in a world, in an arena that I'd never been in before. And I spent a lot of time. I'm very much an observer, a witness. I'm the quiet one in the room always. And I spent a lot of time just observing what was going on around me. And I started to look at the question of peace and, you know, all of the, you know, the wars that had been fought so-called in the name of peace, and the deaths, and, you know, the toll it had taken on the earth, on the animals, on the human beings. And still, we seem no closer to peace than we were, you know, millennia ago. So I really started to question, what is it that is going to create sustainable, lasting world peace? And of course, you know, this is nothing new, what I'm saying. It all comes down to creating that within ourselves first. Now, I feel that there's been such an emphasis on looking out there. We've had these inspirational, brilliant, in quotes, leaders like Gandhi, Martin Luther King, you know, beings like that, that have been up there, integrated. Gandhi, an incredibly integrated man, and he is one, reason really, he is one of my, he's one who inspires me. The ones that inspire me.
He's one of my favorite all time.
Yeah, because for me personally, the book is dedicated to Gandhi, to Omram Mikhail Ivanhoff, and to Thich Nhat Hanh, because these three beings are three beings who they walked the talk, they did the work, they were at a level of their own evolution where they were psychologically, they were consciously, and they were spiritually integrated human beings. Thich Nhat Hanh, of course, still is; he's still here, but. Yeah. The point I'm making is that you've had these great inspirational leaders, you know, these rare leaders, you know, there's sort of a handful by comparison to the mass of humanity who are integrated beings who could bring this message forward. And we say, well, why didn't peace stabilize? Why didn't it establish itself? Why was there not peace in India after Gandhi had done everything he'd done? And that's because the, in quotes, followers, as I'm very careful about the terms leaders and followers, I've written an article on that, which is on my website when it goes up. The followers, in quotes, are not or were not at the level of integration evolution, you know, psychological, conscious and spiritual evolution integration that these, in quotes, leaders are. So we couldn't establish world peace on a global level at that level. Now, what I realize, and I think, you know, again, it's nothing new, but this is the way to peace. The way to peace is to become like Gandhi, to become like Yeshua, to become like Thich Nhat Hanh, to become like Omram Mikhail Ivanhoff and all these great beings that have walked the earth, to become like them. And as Jesus said, you know, I think he said something like, do not follow me, become like me. You know, he wasn't asking people to follow him. He was saying, become like me. And this is what I feel is the way forward. And so my dedication, if you like, with my work is to present that reality in a way that is absolutely accessible, that is not sort of wrapped up in, you know, complex language and theory. Which closes the heart and clogs the mind, but to present it in such a simple language to make it accessible for people to feel, I can do this, because it's only when we are, if you like, refining ourselves to become like Gandhi that we then have a chance of world peace being attained. I truly believe.
I like to think of the process going on with the collective consciousness, that there's, as Yeshua or Jesus said, you know, all these things I've done, these things shall you do, and even greater things shall you do, because I go unto the Father Spirit. In other words, the Spirit of the Aquarian dispensation, where with the thinning of the veil, the hosts of heaven are stepping through the veil through the consciousness of individuals throughout the planet. So it's not the second coming of Christ in terms of one individual Christ. It's the collective Christ consciousness.
Absolutely.
There's a collective, you know, I am, yes. I can, I will, and by God's grace, done deal.
Yes, and I write about this in Contemporary Spirituality. I've got a two-part chapter in there called Contemporary Spirituality for an Evolving World. And I write about exactly that. This is when I talk about the Essenes. I talk about Yeshua. I talk about the evolution of religion. And I talk about what really needs to evolve, what needs to arise in this new epoch that we find ourselves in, this post-2112 epoch that we have arrived in, what I call a new consciousness for a new epoch. So very much so. I absolutely agree with you. It's about Christ consciousness, Buddhic consciousness, Krishna consciousness, whatever we want to call it, Allah consciousness even in its purest form, Sufi consciousness, any religion in quotes or spiritual philosophy that is pure at its heart. This is what is permeating the field of humanity and needs to permeate the field of humanity. And we need to move away, and we will move away from the dry mental, mentalizing, but I'll say it for now, mentalizing of the, you know, human evolution. We need to come into our hearts, and it's something else that I've noticed in the world that I've been moving in. There's some incredible, incredible beings with incredible messages they're putting out to humanity, and these messages are extremely important. They're critical, and the timing is absolutely perfect. And I've noticed that sometimes what I see being presented out into the world and what I know is going on behind closed doors are at juxtapositions with each other. So I'm aware that some of these voices that are out there are still not holding that level of integration that I spoke of, that Gandhi's holding. And this, in a way, is where our focus needs to be. And we need to walk the talk behind closed doors, on a stage in front of thousands of people. We need to be walking the talk. That's why Gandhi was such an inspiration for me, because he did.
It's an interesting time as far as the light is coming in and bringing up all that's less than light for transmutation. And that's the behind the closed doors or the shadow self. You know, the shadow self is like being, so to speak, exposed, and the light, just like when you enter a room and flip on the light. Before you flip the light on, there might be some, you know, light coming in the window where you don't see the dust and the dirt and, you know, in the room. But when you flip the light on, there's all this stuff that comes up that you know, for transmutation, in like in the subconscious, corks bobbing up to the surface or whatever. Mm-hmm. And to me, there's this process that the collective consciousness is going on. I'm just in awe, you know, putting my finger on the pulse of the collective consciousness, you know, just kind of monitoring the different news feeds that I have and what's coming to the surface that's being neutralized and checked and balanced by, again, this new heart coherence, this sense of, you know, we are the family of man, we are in a global village, you know, we are all connected and co-creating our reality, and we're at this choice point. You know, we have this opportunity. And when I opened your book for the first time, I remember going to that section that you were referring to about Yeshua and the Essene, you know, Jesus and how he came out of the Essene community and what that looked like, and that was like a window into what's going on, you know, the global community that's evolving with a collective conscience with a capital C, you might say. And I love that quote by you in the book, that quote, when you said, "We are witnessing the birth of the next level of human evolution, and through millennia we have been experiencing our physical evolution, and in more recent times our psychological evolution. Now a new era is upon us. We stand on the threshold of a new age of conscious evolution. And just as human evolution has evolved us from primal id drives to ego formation, and our psychological integration catalyzes the evolution from ego to I, so it is that our conscious evolution will initiate an evolutionary process from I to I am. And what follows this is spiritual evolution from I am to I am, which leads us back to the very heart of our spiritual origins. I am that I am, I am to I am, you know, that's that I am to I am. which leads us back to the very heart of our spiritual origins. I'm not sure what section of the book that was in, but that was the thrust that I got in that section of your book, which was one of the most prescient insights into the Essene community that Yeshua or Jesus came out of that I've ever seen. Or just that's when I first got the book. That's what I'd opened up to that, and I was just enthralled.
That's wonderful to hear. Thank you. Yeah. But absolutely. And, you know, again, on Facebook, I have a page now specifically for contemporary spirituality for an evolving world. And it has that quote. That quote is the main photo on the page. So, again, if anybody wants to join that community, a contemporary spiritual community, then please, you know, come to my page. You'll see the link. Click on it. And there you are. But, yes, I mean, the book, it covers so much. It is from the personal to the global transformation. It is about conscious evolution. We do stand on this era of a new age in conscious evolution. And as such, we are called to take self-responsibility, to look more deeply within ourselves. And yes, we have the energies, we have these profound energies that are downloading on the planet. We have all the phenomena that's happening on the Earth energy level too. And we also need to be working consciously with that. And the generations, they change, you know. So our generation and the generation we are in right now, in terms of the mass generation, we are in a time, as I spoke of earlier, in what I was writing, and I was saying that this quickening, this 13-year quickening that the Maya spoke of from 1999 to 2012 was an unprecedented opportunity for humanity to evolve at an accelerated rate that we have never known in the history of humankind. So there was a huge, massive evolutionary leap that occurred within humanity specifically, and especially the ones I referred to as awakened ones, as in those like us who are on this path of awakening. And we are doing it, if you like. I say that there's a light worker in most families these days, and every family should have one. This lovely little quote, every family should have one. And as we are, you know, in our independent families, you know, our individual families, those of us know who we are when we know we are the, in quotes, the light worker in the family. And we know that we are doing it, what we are doing in our process, in our own healing and our dissolving and our resolution, our completion process, from ego to I, from small self to self. We're not just doing that for ourselves. As I say, we are doing it for the generations that have gone before and the generations to come. And in the same context, we can say that en masse, we are doing it for all of humanity. So the more of us who are awakened, who are working more deeply on ourselves to become who we truly are, to dissolve the history, which we are doing, the more we spread en masse, if you like, the more we are holding that light for the rest of humanity that, for the main part, still are in the darkness, because we have the matrix. You know, we have the matrix. I call it the mental matrix. And that is where all this madness of this global authority and all this craziness is going on, is in this mental matrix. And what happened at the time of the 2112 phenomena was there was a shift. There was a, not so much a shift, there was an activation. And I think I write about this in the book as well, of the heart matrix. And so the, in quotes, light workers, in quotes, awakened ones have shifted from the mental matrix into the heart matrix, in the heart grid. It's not a matrix, it's a grid. So they've shifted from the mental matrix into the heart grid. And so what's happening is there are some of us who are on the periphery of that heart grid. We can visualize them in lotus position, holding love, holding light, meditating, holding peace, and feeding that into the heart grid. And at the same time, there are those of us who are knee deep in the mire of that mental matrix. And I want to emphasize a point here. It's a very important point I want to make. I wrote a big piece a few months ago called What in the Name of Peace is Going On. That will be on my website. My website's launching in about two weeks' time. But it's on my Facebook page under notes. If people go to notes on my Facebook, there's a lot of writings on there. And What in the Name of Peace was a really big piece. And it was actually in response to the Boston bombings that happened. And I'm not going to go into what my personal opinion of is of what actually happened with the guys that were, in quotes, framed for that. But I was looking at a lot at what was actually going on, the madness that was going on in the world. And that piece, What in the Name of Peace is Going On, arose out of that. And interestingly enough, I posted that on my wall and on my website and sent it out to my email list. And somebody who had been a friend, because I don't like to say following, had been a friend of this work. It's not my work, it's this work with a capital W, sent me an email, a scathing email. And, you know, this is not what we star seeds and light workers are here for. This is not for us to be preoccupied with. We need to be focused. And I thought about what he'd said, and I thought, what a gift, what an incredible gift he's done, because he unfriended me. And I thought, what a gift, because out of that, I wrote the follow-up piece the very next day, which I think I called it A Call to Light Workers for Unity Consciousness. And it was a big piece, as big as the piece I'd written about What in the Name of Peace is Going On. And in that piece, I actually said, we need to honour, we need to support, we need to celebrate those souls who have incarnated, those light workers who have incarnated and have the courage to roll their sleeves up and jump right into the depth of the mire of 3D reality, of that mental matrix, doing what they can to effect a change from the inside out. It's not for us, those light workers, if you like, to sit on the periphery of what is actually happening in the world and say, oh, well, you know, I just need to meditate on love and light and all this will just naturally go away. They are equally as important, but not to the expense of judging those who are actually in that matrix. And they, as I say, like they're working like the resistance. They need to be supported as well. And it's an important piece for us to remember.
Yeah, this is why, actually, I began the Cosmic Love radio show 6 years ago. Was my intent was to bring on people that were really coming out, you might say,
yes.
Coming out, you know, with this understanding of what the golden age will look like. What will the shift in consciousness look like? How can we manifest it? And rather than focusing on the problem so much, my intent was to focus on the solutions within the context of the problems. In other words,
yes.
Sometimes we don't appreciate the light without the dark for contrast. It's like good black and white photography. You've got to have good sharp, you know, in black and white photography, you're going to have good sharp details in the shadow areas as well as in the highlights if the picture is well exposed and developed. But you lose those when it's not well exposed, you know, the negative is not well exposed or developed, and then the positive isn't well exposed or developed. And so sometimes, you know, like the problem-solving process, you know, the first step of the solution is to define the problem well. And
yes.
This is a lot of people, and the internet now is just like the collective consciousness has awakened, where there's been massive exposure of not just the problem, but definitive solutions, and it's all out there now. It's like problem and solution are there, and there are people that are focusing, you know, our attention, like yourself, on definitive solutions and within the context of the whole conscious evolution process.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the Pierre Pratervan's preface in your book,
yes.
The Gentle Art of Blessing, the very beginning of your book. Mm-hmm. And he has a quote. I'm going to read this, where he says, every now and then, and this is Pierre Pratervan speaking, he says, every now and then a rare book comes along that synthesizes the key trends of an epoch and where we are headed. And such was Marilyn Ferguson's The Aquarian Conspiracy in 1980. And he says that Nicola Christie has achieved a similar tour de force by synthesizing the fields of spirituality, psychology, and personal development. One feels that her understanding of spirituality is something she has lived through, experienced, and felt in a manner we have rarely encountered in the contemporary literature. And his preface in your book, where he goes into this, the gentle art of blessing, which is really the solution that frames the problem, which is, you might say, the cursing or the judgment, the judgmental, judgmental, the mindset, which is not into the blessing, and you can't bless and curse at the same time. So to begin the book with the gentle art of blessing puts it all in context of, might say, blessing this conscious evolution revolution free.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That blessing is just absolutely sublime. And in fact, I've just recorded 24 prayers, which will all be available on my website as downloads for donation only, because I offer all my work for donation only, including speaking at events or whatever. And one of the prayers that I've recorded with Pierre's permission, of course, to a beautiful piece of music is the Gentle Art of Blessing. It's just absolutely sublime. It's stunning.
Well, I'm just in awe with the depth and breadth of your work and what you're doing now. I encourage everyone listening, if they can get on Facebook, and your ongoing teaching on Facebook is exquisite. But again, the notes and releases and published material that you have through Facebook and through your website coming online here, as you referenced, in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I highly encourage everyone to check that out as it comes online. I provided a lot of links, including your website, that they can go to until the more information is released. And I want to thank you so much for being on Cosmic Love today, Nicolia. I mean, it's been wonderful.
Thank you. I'd like to, can I just summarize, Christopher?
You bet.
I'd like to just say that with this equinox coming up on Sunday, and again, the full piece will be on Facebook and on my website, I just want to say to people out there that the 13 years between 1999 and 2012 were, for most people, unrelenting struggle challenges. Most people barely got through those 13 years off their knees. What I feel is that the year 2013 is the bridge year, and as it's come to me and as I've written about it, 2013 was the womb of gestation. And so we have been, we've passed this 21-12 threshold. We have been gestating, if you like, in this energetic womb from the December solstice of 2012 to the autumn equinox of 2013, which is on Sunday. And on Sunday is the point where we are birthing into the new paradigm, the new epoch, the new world. And what I want to say to people, and it's not new world, new paradigm, new epoch, what I want to say to people is it is never going to be as difficult as it was up until 2112, and 2014 and 2015 are going to be years where things start to flow, the breakthroughs start to happen, and what we have actually come here to do, because everything up until 2112 was an apprenticeship for light workers, for awakened ones. It was an apprenticeship. Yes, it was about working through our own stuff, but it was also the suffering, the struggling we went through was the apprenticeship to bring what we've actually really come here to do. And so as we emerge really from Sunday, I feel from the autumn equinox until the spring equinox of 2014, we're still in this sort of period where we're just drying our wings. We're like the butterfly that has just emerged and its wings are drying. And then from the spring of 2014, the spring equinox of 2014, this is when we start to fly. And people are going to find that life is going to feel as if it's getting easier and easier, and it's flowing and it's becoming such a relief. And also, just for people to know that the galactic alignment is a 36-year process, and it actually completes in 2016. So we are still in the energies of the galactic alignment. When it completes in 2016, then what? And I will be feeling into that and writing about that nearer the time. But everything is, how can I say, everything is unfolding, and it's beginning to unfold in a beautiful way. So I just wanted to complete my time with you here by just sharing that with people. It's, and if there are people saying, well, no, I don't really notice a big difference in my life, I'm still struggling with this, that, and the other. Again, I write about this more in depth in the piece I've just written that will be on Facebook at the weekend. What I'm saying is be mindful that you're not caught in patterns. in caught in a deeply ingrained pattern because we have the neural pathways in the brain, and when those are so deeply ingrained, those grooves are so deep, we can actually be unconsciously stuck in them. But there's another neural pathway that's opened and is calling us to jump into it. So, yeah, I could go on to more and more and more about this, but I know we have to finish here. So I just wanted to say that. Take heart. All is well. All will be well.
Oh, thank you so much, Nicole. The metamorphosis and process, I highly encourage listeners to get this handbook for conscious evolution, and that you'll, there's just gems there that will crystallize, catalyze, and what I would say geometrize, you know, the big picture in terms of self-elevation for personal and global salvation, you might say. So thanks again, Nicole Christie. Thanks to everyone for listening. And I'm grateful for the gentle art of blessing that you brought to the show, Nicole.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Christopher. Blessings, blessings, blessings.
Blessings, blessings, blessings. I like that. So we'll see everyone in a couple of weeks on Cosmic Love. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And I'll have a little meditation here at the end of the show.
May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.